It's no doubt you do feel a little safer, don't you, when you know you've got a smoke alarm installed in your home. But how many of us are aware of a raging and pretty disquieting debate over the efficacy of these smoke alarms? Do they actually work? Well, the New South Wales Fire Authorities have just released research which they say provides the evidence to settle that argument, involving the two most common smoke alarms, ionisation and photoelectric. But critics, including a respected expert, aren't satisfied and they've called the study flawed and dangerous. Any guest has more.
The monotone of the smoke alarm belies the complexity of the debate surrounding it.
Currently, there's a number of different technologies available on the Australian market.
Mark Wybro is an Assistant Commissioner of Fire and Rescue New South Wales.
So we use real furniture in a mock-up of a two-bedroom apartment and set fire to it 81 times, 27 different types of scenario with different ignition, slow smouldering fires, fast flaming fires, nuisance alarm tests.
Even the names of smoke alarms might puzzle those who walk under them every day. There's
photoelectric alarms.
They can be faster at detecting smouldering fires. And then there's
ionisation alarms.
They can be faster at detecting flaming fires. There's dual photoelectric and ionisation alarms, and also
photoelectric and multi-criteria alarms, that's photoelectric and heat sensing.
Most Australian homes have photoelectric or ionisation alarms. The fire service began tests in 2014 after years of accusations that ionisation alarms are next to useless at saving lives. They're banned in some jurisdictions overseas and in Queensland and the Northern Territory, where photoelectric alarms are compulsory in all homes. And the Australian Building Code mandates photoelectric alarms in all hospitals and hotels. And a former New South Wales Fire Commissioner told a Senate inquiry in 2014, ionisation alarms should be outlawed everywhere. Ionisation alarms can give false signals if they're too close to a kitchen.
Community of Logan, south of Brisbane.
Here, a survivor told the coroner nuisance alarms had been disconnected, but the type wasn't known.
It's believed to be the worst fire in Australian history. 8 children and teenagers are among the dead.
In another inferno, the sole survivor told a different story.
Today to farewell the family of celebrity chef Matt Galinsky.
Matt Galinsky's father said ionisation alarms were connected at his son's house. Back in Sydney, 10 initial test burns confirmed ionisation alarms were inferior to photoelectric and dual alarms in most scenarios. Those results haven't been released. Then the Australian Building Codes Board commissioned a review by Victoria University, which found the range of scenarios tested was inadequate.
We took on board all of the constructive criticism we got out of that review, the first review of Stage 1, and fed that into Stage 2. There were noticeable differences in the 4 different alarm types that we tested. Some reacted better in certain circumstances, whereas others were more favourable but produced a better performance in others.
The report, Smoke Alarms in Homes Stage 2, says that in smouldering fire tests, the photoelectric alarms, photoelectric and ionisation dual alarms, and photoelectric with heat sensing alarms activated on average 30 seconds to a minute faster than ionisation alarms. In flaming tests, ionisation alarms activated on average up to 53 seconds faster than the rest. They also found false alarms from ionisation and dual detectors, and also photoelectric and multi-criteria alarms not going off. Assistant Commissioner Mark Wybro again.
Once again, our research shows that no particular smoke alarm reacts the best in all situations. So what we're saying is it's actually the number, the location, and the interconnection of smoke alarms that gives you the best possible chance.
So therefore, this report should be enough, in your view, to settle that long-running argument involving the efficacy of smoke alarms, that people need not concern themselves anymore with which one's better, that this research shows that both perform differently in different situations.
Exactly.
Fire and Rescue New South Wales showed their draft report to David Isaac before releasing it last week. He's a member of Standards Australia Fire Committees and also the Fire Protection Association's Technical Advisory Committee.
Those particular methodologies would have favoured the ionisation smoke alarm.
David Isaac says previous studies have shown photoelectric alarms can go off 30 minutes before ionisation alarms.
They've had very limited testing, and their testing, I would argue, was not a proper smouldering synthetic fire test.
What was wrong with it?
Well, they used a cotton batter material. In other words, they put a soldering iron into a large piece of cotton batter. So it's very disappointing that they would make that statement, given that Underwriters Laboratories in the US and the NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Testing in the US, have been doing testing on these issues and research on these issues for years.
He is Assistant Commissioner Wybro.
David is entitled to his opinion. He's a well-respected expert in this industry. What we were looking at was real-life fire scenarios, and I'm sitting here looking at my lounge room, and it has cotton-covered, foam-padded furniture. The source of ignition has been used in other fire research projects across the world. I'm more than happy to talk to David about further research and how to build on what we know now.
David Isaac again.
Once a fire goes to the flaming stage in a home, it's less than 3 minutes and you won't be able to survive in that home. So you don't want to know about a fire when it's flaming. You must know about the fire when it's early in its smouldering phase, and that's what an ionisation smoke alarm will not do, unless it's in the room of the fire origin and the fire develops substantially with heat.
What do you say lies behind what you allege is a reluctance to condemn ionisation alarms if they are as bad as you allege?
Well, I think there's a lack of expertise within the fire service. They've got some very smart people in their fire research, but I think there's a lack of expertise in understanding the absolute technical issues involved and the characterisation studies of smoke.
He says ionisation alarm manufacturers commissioned CSIRO testing which failed a previous higher standard, and they won't allow that commercial in confidence data to be released.
There are times when the ionisation alarm is a particularly dangerous device, and we've seen this in the US with litigation and court cases where they're always settled out of court under confidentiality orders by the manufacturers.
RN Breakfast contacted three smoke alarm manufacturers for interviews, but none responded before the program's deadline. We also asked the CSIRO for an interview, but it did not respond. In 2016, the Senate inquiry into smoke alarms recommended mandatory interconnected photoelectric smoke alarms, supplemented where appropriate by ionisation alarms. That's partly echoed here. So while debate continues over alarm types, there's unanimity on one point at least. Homes need smoke alarms that signal each other, and they need more of them.
Hear, hear. Any guess with that report? You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 17 minutes to 9.